coming. Hopefully you're in the right spot. This is Making Users, Raving Fans, Our Stories. So for any of those of you who were here last year at Link Conference in San Diego, I did a session with another person, Sarah Goodwin, and it was about making your users raving fans. But the difference was, it was just Sarah and I talking from Microsoft's perspective. And so this year we wanted to include customers, because that's really what you guys want to hear about, right? Is what are other people doing? Give me some real world examples and tell us about how people are successful. So that's why I'm joined by Brian and Tara and Jerry today, who are going to tell their stories about what they've done within their organizations to make their users raving fans. My name is Lori Pottmeyer. I'm a program manager at Microsoft. I sit within customer engineering, and my role is focused on user adoption and readiness of Link. So I work with customers from all over the world, really, on their Link deployments and helping them with their end goal of increasing adoption, making sure that people are really using the technology. So we've got some things to talk about today. I'm going to start today by telling you a little bit about why adoption is important. And really, that's hopefully a question that you guys all know the answer to, but we're going to talk about that for a few minutes. And then I'm going to turn it over to our customer speakers, who are going to be telling you, again, a little bit about their own stories. And then we're going to wrap things up at the end of the day and show you some of the resources that you have available to you that you can use when you get back. So the quotes that you see on the screen are some of the things that we hear a lot of times from our customers, our users, right? We hear them say things like, "What is Link?" Hopefully we don't hear that a lot, but these are actual quotes that we've gotten from some of the user surveys that we've worked with our customers. Some of them are really good, right? You're going to see some things like, "Oh, so simple, anyone can use it," or "Thank you for providing me for these awesome tools," and they really love it. And then other times you're going to see some of these negative things. That's just not good, right? We don't want to hear those things. We want them to love it, but that doesn't always happen. But you know what is worse is not knowing what people are going to say. If we don't survey our users and really, from the very beginning, have a benchmark and know what people are feeling from the beginning, and then surveying them often, early and often, we don't get this feedback. So in turn, then, we don't know what to do. We don't know, do people love it? Do they hate it? Are they confused? Do we need to be teaching them something else? Tweaking our training, tweaking our communications? So these are some of the things that we hear at the very beginning of deployments very, very often that can raise red flags. So my message here is survey early and often, but also just really be aware of what that first experience is like. Thinking from the very beginning when your users get Link, we need to be understanding what their experience is going to be like from the very, very beginning. Because if we don't, they're not going to use it, right? So some of those people that are saying, "What is Link? I don't even know what it is. I have no idea what you're talking about." Well, they're not going to use Link because they don't know what it is, or they don't know how to use it. They haven't had training, so they're not going to use it. So if they don't know those things and know why it's important to them, they're not going to use it. Again, you're not going to get your ROI. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what some of the problems are. And what you see on the screen right now is kind of the typical rollout effort distribution. You see this big, huge section that's for the core deployment, right? Everybody's focus on the technical deployment, making sure that the technology is rolled out without a hitch. Obviously, super important, right? And then we've got this little piece over here that's the end user focus. So the end user focus is so separate oftentimes, right? You've got your IT teams that are working hard to get this technology out the door. And then oftentimes, they're not even talking to the end user group. And so we need to make sure that your picture looks a little bit more like this, so that we're spending more time, more resources, more energy on the end user experience to make sure that your users are successful, and they need to be coordinated with the IT effort. If you don't do that, you get things like training that doesn't go with what the actual deployment looks like, right? We've got canned Microsoft training. Hopefully you guys are all aware of that. We have instructor-led training that's free, open to the public. Anybody can go anytime. I hope you guys are all aware of that. The downside, it's not going to match your environment 100% in every case, right? Everybody has a little bit different deployment. So we need to be, when we're creating our documentation, we need to make sure that our IT department is communicating with the end user teams and that everybody's in coordination and we're meeting together early and often. We're all on the same page. We know what's happening when so that we can communicate the right things at the right times. Nothing is a surprise, and we're working together. I'm not going to read this slide, but hopefully these things on this slide you guys don't see very often because they are all causes for stalled adoption. I didn't put them in any particular order, but I did put lack of training at the bottom for a reason. That's because a lot of times people think if we just throw training at our users, then, well, they'll be trained, and then they'll use it, and then everybody will be happy, and our pilot or our deployment will be a success, right? But training isn't always the answer. Training is a big part of it. We want to make sure that people are trained, that they know how to use it. But there's all these other things. If we don't have a formal pilot and determine, you know, the cause of some of these things at the very beginning, we're in big trouble. If you don't have a device strategy, you roll Link out, and you don't know what devices you're going to support, that's a problem, right? Somebody calls into the help desk, they don't have a certified device, help desk doesn't know how to help them, they don't know where to go to get a device. What is the strategy? How is somebody going to get their device? Brian's going to talk a little bit about what they've done at Wells Fargo around that. Pull another one out here. Executive sponsorship. So if your executive team doesn't really understand exactly what your goals are, and doesn't really know everything about the project, that can cause problems too, right? Because not only is that person not fully bought in to what you're doing, but they can't help you. And by helping you, I mean they can't be involved with the communications process, which they absolutely should be a part of, right, is the executive champion. Same thing with using it themselves. We want our executives to be using the product so that they can kind of show people how to do that from the top down. So hopefully you read some of those things, super important. So at the risk of offending one of the other speakers in this session, I'm going to show a slide. Jerry's from Denver. So this is what raving fans look like. Okay, we've got some class in the back, obviously some people here from Seattle. Thank you, Jason. But this is what a raving fan looks like, right? A good example. Obviously sports, but we want our users to be super excited, right? It's a little bit cheesy, but we do. We want them to love Link. We want them to use it. And we want them to tell everybody that they know within the organization how they're using Link. And we want them to perceive it as an investment in them. Because we're spending a lot of money to get this project done, to get it out the door. We want people to use it. So we need to make them understand how it's useful to them, why it's useful to them. All right, so within your organization, there's a lot of you here today. All of you guys have different deployments. You're all doing very different things. And I'm willing to bet that within each of your organizations and the three signs that you see up here, who's represented today, everybody's doing something very different because their deployment is different and because their users are different, right? Everybody uses Link in a very different way. I use it different than some of you. So the important thing here is to know that one size doesn't fit all. That's not only with the deployment, but it's with your users. We want to make sure that we're understanding who our users are, understanding what the impact of Link is, because, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't used to IM. You know, they've just never had it. And the thought of having a phone that's on their computer is really foreign to a lot of people. So we need to understand what the impact is so that we can help them be successful, whether that's through communication, training, one-on-one sitting down, having brown bags. There's a lot of examples that you're going to hear about today of ways that people alleviated those problems. And then considering the end-to-end experience. This is an important one because I think so oftentimes we know that we have to do training, we know that we have to do communication, but we're not really thinking about it from okay, on day one, user knows that they're going to get link. And then a week later, and we're not thinking about the entire process end to end. So just be thinking about, okay, from the first time they hear about link, what is that experience like for them? From the time that it's been rolled out to the entire organization, and just ongoing, right? Because there's going to be operational things that you're going to need to continually be serving your users. You're going to be monitoring the success, the health of the deployment. And so just be thinking about what that experience is going to be like for your users from end to end. I love this little math here. So value plus usability plus reliability equals trust. So really, without trust, we don't drive adoption. If the teams, if the users are looking at the project teams, It's just another IT project, or it's just another tool that's out there, but they don't know really what the value is to them, that's a problem. We need to be sharing with them exactly what the value is for them and building that trust. So for instance, you've got a salesperson, and they're on the road a lot. So making sure that they understand this is how you do something today, but with Link, you can do it this way. Same thing for anybody that's sitting in an office day to day. There's a task that they do that you want them to do using Link, then share that with them. Hey, I know that you guys do X. Did you know you could do it this way with Link? And kind of target your user groups, right? And that's part of the understanding who your users are and how they're using Link or not using Link. But understanding their work, and Tara's going to mention this too, because at King County they did a lot of that, and understanding, you know, who your users are, how they're using it, or what they're doing, so that you can tailor your messaging to them. And then making sure that they know how to use it. Usability, that's training, right? Making sure that you have resources that are updated. I'm going to show you some of the resources at the end today. And then finally, reliability. So if Link doesn't work the first time that they go to use Link, they might not go back to using Link, right? They're going to say, forget it. It was a crappy experience, my call dropped, or I couldn't even figure out how to answer my call, or I didn't even hear my phone ring. You know, they lose trust. So making sure that you show the value, you teach them how to use it, and you make it reliable so that it's a good experience for them, that builds trust, which ultimately is going to drive adoption. So I know I've talked a lot. I'm going to turn it over to Jerry in just a moment from Sallie Mae, who's going to kick things off from a customer perspective. But I did want to let you know, for those of you who came late, we did have bags, and there's some in the middle here for open seats. If you on the perimeter there didn't get one, be sure to take one today. Those are really meant to get you guys excited and energized about this session, because it is the best session of the day. So don't forget that at the end. And then also, we have some devices. So we want to be able to communicate with you and take your questions. So we're going to save some time at the end of today's session for you guys to ask your questions. And so for anybody that asks a juicy question, we've got devices that we're going to hand out too. And then we're also going to spend time in the Microsoft Pavilion after. So for any questions that don't get answered today, we'll certainly meet with you one-on-one or as a small group out there too. So Jerry, I'm going to turn it over to you. This is Jerry Johnson from Sallie Mae.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I am a raving fan of Link. I will admit it. I love it. Lori kind of already gave my secret away. I love it because I get to work from home in Colorado. So I think Sallie Mae has a good story that I'm here to share with you today. But before I get started, I wanted to know who in the audience is brave enough to tell me if they thought Sallie Mae does home mortgages or sells candy. Or mortgages. Here's that guy. See Lori later. She might give you advice. That was brave. Okay, so Sallie Mae doesn't do mortgages, doesn't sell doesn't sell candy. Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, you can go see them. Don't go to Fannie Mae for your sugar fix. Go see Freddie. Okay. We are a Fortune 500 company in the financial services industry. Sorry. We have about 10,000 employees, and we're spread all over the United States. We have helped about 30 million students and their families plan, pay, and save for college over the last 40 years. So that's why I care that we don't sell candy, we help people get through college. Anyway, we've been a Link customer since 2008. And last year, we decided it was a good time to upgrade from OCS 2007 to Link 2010. And we also added Enterprise Voice. The majority of our company uses or is call center based. And one of the things that they love about Link is actually the group chat, which is now called Persistent Chat in Link 2013. The cool way that they use it is, as opposed to supervisors who walk around a call center floor looking for any agents that might be having issues, they actually have a supervisor on call that monitors a chat room, and so then the agents just ping that chat room if they need assistance. So that way they're able to have less supervisors roaming around, and they can really help a lot more agents that way. So let me get on to our story. That's now that I've covered us. We broke our project last year into three phases. So first, you got to stay current. I mean, we all know that. Just like here in Vegas, it's table stakes. So we upgraded the Link 2010, and we also upgraded the desktop. And then secondly, we leveraged new capabilities by adding Enterprise Voice last year. And then finally, we simplified conferencing and made it easier for users to join their meetings. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm a skeptic, and I have to tell you, even over a year ago, I'm like, this is a tall order. How are we going to make this happen? But we did. And to be honest, it was not without the help of our vendor partners, with our internal project team. We came up with a really good communication plan. We gave away lots of giveaways, lots of goodies, and we did some road shows. So one thing about our communication plan is we came up with a very consistent, very predictable process. So for instance, within 45 days of your group getting Link, we told you, hey, your phone's about to get smarter. And then in 30 days, we told you, hey, get ready, get excited. This is going to be fun. You're going to love it. And then so on, 7 days, day zero, we're there to hold your hand and help you, et cetera. The other thing we did was we went and hit up executives and said, hey, would you mind if we just came and did 10, 15 minutes on this thing called Link? And the cool thing about that is we got a lot of good accidental street cred because people thought that those executives had pulled us into their meetings. And so then they thought, this is something important I need to listen to. And then lastly, we did do a lot of training. And Lori spoke to the fact that you got to have a good plan, you got to do training, you got to do it all. So we did travel around the U.S., and I would get into these rooms, a little smaller, probably more like this size, and someone would come in, I'm going to kill the mic. They would have their arms crossed, and they would sit down, and they would grumble, my supervisor sent me here. There's nothing wrong with my phone. And I'm like, okay, welcome, come on in. But then one of our Link fans, early adopters, would stroll into the room, and they're like, hey, is this where I'm here to learn more about Link? I love it. And so you can start to see the demeanor in the room change a little. And so I would get on with the live demo, and I get to a part in this particular example. So I start talking about how cool it is that when you're on a conference call, you can forward your calls to another, to like your mobile phone. And then the Link fan just takes over my whole training session demo. He begins to tell the whole room how she loves this feature. She used it the other day when she had to leave to go to a doctor's appointment. And it was just priceless to hear her describe it. And, you know, the demo came to life for people in the room. So her excitement changed the room, and that really helped us. I was no longer this Jerry Johnson from Enterprise Architecture trying to push Link to you. It was someone, you know, one of your peers helping you. Needless to say, I gave that particular fan a few extra giveaways for helping me out with my demo. Okay, so I promised Lori I would try to give you guys some practical examples of what we actually, you know, here are screenshots of things we used. So one is Microsoft has this thing called the Productivity Hub that you can load up into your own SharePoint site. So we actually did that. We rebranded it. You can see the Sallie Mae logo up there in the corner. We called it Office Modernization. That's our project. We call it the train site. And then we even went ahead and customized it a little further and uploaded some of our tailored quick reference cards for people to quickly find. And this is where any communication, we directed people to this site. Go to the train site. You want to know more? Go to the train site. Also, I ripped out a couple of examples from our global communication plan just to give you an idea of some of the types of repeatable communications that we sent. So sometimes it went to all employees, or, you know, like I said, with that whole 45, 30 days out, 7 days out, it went to a specific targeted communication. And then lastly, here's an example of one of our memos where we always tell people what's happening, why should you care, and where to go for more information. Just repeat it every time. It didn't matter if we're getting closer and we didn't have as much information. We always try to include those elements. So back to my skepticism, okay? So I would be asking myself, okay, you did great communication, you gave people good stuff, you went and did your training, but how do you know you're successful? And that's where measuring your impact comes into play. Back in late 2012, we set a goal. This is one of our goals. We have a few. And we said we're going to reduce our third-party hosted conferencing by $500,000. We kind of threw down the gauntlet to our executives and said, with this Link thing, we can save some money. They're like, okay, show us. So if you add up that number two there, so far in the last year, we have saved $1.3 million. So we have knocked our goal out of the park. So as you can imagine, executives get excited with those kinds of savings, and they want to see more. So you'll see where it says 438, those are people still using our third-party hosted solution, and they want it down to zero, and we commit it to 20, not zero, but we're going to try to get to zero. Why not? I mean, it's saving us money. All right, so here's the thing. It was not all rainbows and sunshine. I know I sound very positive, and it was positive. It was a fun year. But there were still some lessons to be learned. One is we could not do enough road shows. And part of the problem was we started getting really good at the road shows. They were hugely successful. And we figured we had enough momentum. We started rationalizing, well, you know what? I crashed their department meeting a couple of months ago. I think they're good. We don't need to go do a roadshow for that department. I love Colorado. I didn't want to travel. during golf season. So just fun things like that that made us, we felt like things were going so good that we didn't stick to the original plan. And that's unfortunate, because while people still love Link, what happened was you'd find things like what you see there is, I didn't know it could do that. So some of those advanced features that if we had really just keep doing the road shows, even if near the end of the year hardly anyone shows up, you still get those people that get all those little extra nuggets that they wouldn't get otherwise. Anything else? So, the last thing, I can't overemphasize the fact that it really helped us to have some, we didn't even seed it, you know, we just happened to have in our training sessions those early adopters that came to training to learn more about Link, and that really, really made a world of difference to get other people in the room excited, change their body language, and really get them to open up and take advantage of the training. So all in all, it was a good year, and that's my story. I'm going to hand it over to Tara.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Tara Millis, and I am the Communication Director for the King County Department of Information Technology. And I am honored to be asked by Microsoft to come here today to talk about our story and how we've worked really hard to create adoption and raving fans in a government situation, which is not always the easiest thing to do. Unlike Jerry, we can't give stuff away. We have policies against that. We have policies on top of policies. So I'm also on Twitter at Terabyte, as you can see there. So if you do have any questions about our specific story, feel free to get in touch with me, and I'll make sure to follow up with you. So King County is a very diverse metropolitan area, home of the Seattle Seahawks, as Lori alluded to. And we are in a unique situation. We have over 2 million residents, most of them, you know, kind of the socks and sandals bunch, as you see on the PEMCO commercials, but also always on their devices, you know, always mobile, adopting the latest technology. Now, these are our residents. So when residents go to get services from the county government, they expect mobile service. They expect quick and efficient service. Well, sometimes county government and efficiency don't necessarily go hand in hand. There's tons of reasons for that, and that's a different topic. But we recognized that we needed to increase our ability to provide these services in a more efficient manner to do and provide good value for our residents. King County is unlike, or local government is unlike specific businesses where you have a couple of lines of business. We have over 21 lines of business, all the way from the jail systems to our public health clinics to our Department of Elections to our pet licensing, you know, to our Natural Resources and Parks Department. So this is a big challenge because if you can imagine 21 lines of business, there are many, over 21 different technology needs that these businesses have. So we had to look at how we were able to really make custom experience for each of our different lines of business to help them adopt this technology and provide better services for our residents. So our story began, you know, years ago as we started adopting Link technologies, but I'll start in about 2011 when we had first completed a major IT consolidation. We started off as a shop that was very decentralized, and every department had their own IT section. And then in 2011, we realized the gaping inefficiencies that this caused. And so our executive order was to consolidate IT and create an executive branch. So we did that, and that really created the platform for standardization. And most of you realize that standardization is the first step towards maturing your technology processes, getting savings in quantity and volume, and also providing an area to provide enterprise tools for your users. So at that time, we had different PBX systems. None of our technologies talked to each other. Everything was maintained independently. It really wasn't a good solution, and it wasn't allowing us to provide those services that we needed to our residents. So we realized that when we looked at our telephony solutions, that we needed something that would decrease risk. We needed something that we could maintain. We needed something that we could decrease cost. And we needed something that overall would provide a better platform. We knew that we were moving to the Office 365 platform. We knew that we wanted something that embraced mobility. We knew that we wanted something that we could grow with. And so looking at all of our options, we went with Microsoft Link. And that's why I'm here today. So in order to begin the process of adoption, it really isn't about technology. It's about people. And you know, our technology at the time was 20 to 30 years old, and our employees' average age was 58 years old. So what does this mean? It means that we've had employees at the county who've been using the same set of tools for years and years and years, and from a generational standpoint, these would be the traditionalists. If it isn't broke, don't fix it, right? So this is a group that really needed some TLC. It wouldn't be sufficient to send an email to a 20-year handset-centric employee saying, hey, next week, next month, we're going to take your phone away and provide you with the efficiency tool, and guess what? Everything will be better. That's not how it works in our environment. So we created a sophisticated project team dedicated only towards this project, which is a big commitment when you're looking at time resources. This project team did all of the quote-unquote boring things, but the things that are really important, creating a structure, creating plans, creating inroads with department executives, really making sure that we had all the bases covered. And you know, we've adjusted a few times. Last year, we hired a customer relations manager because we realized that technology, vocabulary, and the climate involved is different than the business. And so we needed somebody who could provide that crossover. And so our customer relations manager was hired to head this project team who dealt with the customers and specifically was there for them. And not only did we have a project team, but we have a Link deployment team. These are the folks that would go out and they would spend time with the customers. They would find out what it is they're doing and how Link could help. We have close to 6,000 voice-enabled Link users and close to 12,000 Link users in general. So this team has gone out and has sat with over 6,000 people to understand what they need to do to deploy Link differently. And we have lots of situations that get complex. We have response groups. We have highly sensitive political groups like our King County Council. We have folks that, you know, can't have Link fail. So it can get pretty hairy sometimes, but we do have go-to groups. And the important thing is that we're not trying to solve technology with technology. We're trying to solve it with people. And I think that has really made a difference because it has shown our users that we care. We're not going to send you an email if you have a problem. We're going to send a person to help you. Another requirement and something that's really worked for us is to understand the business. The first slide shows our deployment team at the wastewater treatment plant. And then the last slide shows deployment at the Auburn District Court. So you can understand, again, that each situation requires its own deployment plan, almost its own business plan, to help those customers really reap the value from that deployment. One thing that we determined that we would never do is just lob the tools over the fence and let people figure out how to use it. But at the same time, we didn't want to throw the book at them. We understand that people who are working at these places have jobs to do, and maybe they can dedicate a couple hours or even a day to Link training, but they're not going to become Link experts. So the low-hanging fruit, the quick wins, teach them the basics, let them sit with it, let them understand how it integrates into their business, and then check back with them. And then they're excited to learn more. We found that if you oversaturate the employees, the users, then we would get a lot of resistance because technology is not their job. That's just the way they, what they use to get their job done. Another thing that's important in our environment is to understand the context that your business is in. So, for example, our wastewater treatment plants, for lack of a better example, not only do they have a business to run, they are in the context of a county government. So what does that mean? The county executive is asking them to create 3% efficiencies. Their department director is asking them to create lean processes. Our various policies and committees are looking for continuous improvement. So these are things that businesses also get pressure during the work week, during the day, during the year. And so we don't want Link to be another pressure for them. So instead of saying, here's a technology tool for the sake of technology, it's awesome, you need it, you don't want to lag behind, right? We wouldn't say that. We would say things like, did you know that Link is a lean tool? Did you know that using Link creates continuous improvements and efficiencies in your organization? I mean, why not adopt the technology, or excuse me, the vocabulary that's already out there and use it in our own marketing plans? Because they're used to hearing that. And so then if the customer says, wait a minute, if I use Link, I'm doing what the executive wants, I'm engaging in technology, and I'm winning in the end. So our job was to help make those pieces bite-sized, digestible, so that there could be these quick wins for our businesses. It's also important to acknowledge, especially in an environment where you have a lot of traditionalists, that they feel like there's changes all the time. For folks that are from different generations or maybe used to changes, that are always looking forward to the next, iPhone or Windows Phone upgrade, it may not be a big deal. But for folks that want to have the same type of telephony solution for 5, 10, 15 years, changing really does, throw a wrench into the works. And so it's important for us to acknowledge that and to, minimize the changes where we can, but also provide real incentive and real business reasons to go ahead and make changes. So on February 6th, we had a panel, a technology tool panel, on our employee town hall. That's an event that our executive, Dow Constantine, promotes. And he had the technology tool panel at the same time that he had a lean panel, which I thought was really strategic because it gave us a chance to talk at a high level about technology tools in the presence of our executive, surrounded by folks who are interested in technology and lean. So we really try to take the Link and we look at it from a desktop to a group to a department, all the way to an entire county level, which is over 14,000 employees, to see how we're having that conversation so that we're maintaining the fact that Link is here and people maybe that were deployed 2 or 3 years ago still hear the same messaging. We haven't forgot about them. So does anybody here remember the commercial? I think it was from Life Cereal. Mikey likes it. Yeah. Well, in the government, and this may just be us, but we need to walk the talk. If our executive doesn't do it, then why should I? If my department director doesn't do it, then why should I? So we don't wait for our top leaders to be the last ones to adopt. We really encourage them to be on the first wave, to be the initial adopters. Our CIO, the one behind the computer, does a monthly Link roundtable. And all of our department, 350 employees, get online and, listen to him talk and have the IM chat, and we have a really good session. And it gives everybody, maybe who doesn't use a link on a daily basis, a chance to interact and experience the tool. And in a way, that's how you create adoption, because you realize how important it is. The next slide shows our King County executive using the link kiosk at our permitting department. This, again, was an opportunity for the county to see how this tool can help in external and internal situations. So a final thing to talk about is the fun factor, right? You can never underestimate the value of fun, especially when you work for the government. It doesn't come around too often. So when you get folks who are interested, when you get folks who want to go that extra mile, you give them tools and a video camera, right? You want to create that idea that we can have fun. So we have a Facebook page, we have Twitter, you know, we have various channels for poking fun at the tools. We want to be real. And we also really want to hear from our customers, especially our customers that are willing to take photos of themselves using Link. Because customers who speak to the value of your product are so much more valuable than you speaking to the value of your product. You know, any sort of customer success story or scenario really does go a long way. So we don't forget to promote that, and we don't forget to have fun when we can, and we don't forget that there's a variety of people that use Link, and some of them, you know, want to be the early adopters and really want to put their face out there. So customer feedback is really important, again, given the fact that we have over 21 different lines of business, because we want customers to talk about how Link is valuable to them. When we deploy the product, we generally try to get, you know, how's it going for you? Do you like it? Are you excited? But the real value comes after the fact. A couple of weeks, a couple of months, when it's been allowed to sink in, and then you can go back. Because usually technology tools and adoption affect some sort of business process change. It doesn't have to be huge, you know, but maybe now instead of tracking down that person, you're using IM or you know, our jail system, they use the park a call feature a lot. They get a call. They're able to walkie-talkie, you know, hey, so you got a call. Person can pick up the call anywhere. Things like that that we wouldn't necessarily go out the door saying, you're going to love this. But when we eventually educate them on all the opportunities of the feature, then they can use it. And then we're like, wow, we never thought that that would be the part of the tool that you like the best. We're so glad. So we really do like to get those comments. So currently in our environment, we are moving from Link 2010 to Link 2013. And that is a challenge. It's a challenge because we are only half deployed with our current 2010 clients. And so we have customers who are in various states of adoption. Some are raving fans. Some use it at a very basic level. And like I mentioned earlier, some have really complex call groups and highly sensitive departments where you have that, you know, can't fail type of scenario. So when we're looking to retain our raving fans and to create any even more adoption in Link, we decided on 80-20 rule. And so what that means for us is that 80% of the users are going to be easy. They're standard, out of the box. They're not going to complain much, right? They're happy. Maybe they want to move to 2013. So that'll be easy. The 20% are going to be the folks, they're going to go kicking and screaming and be high maintenance and take 80% of the time, right? But we need to move forward. And we can't stop because one customer has a problem. So that's the strategy that we're adopting. And in order to do that, we are, again, engaging the project team, engaging the deployment team, sending out robust communications to let everybody know this is happening and the benefits, And we are really trying to respect the business process. We're trying to deploy during off times, off hours. We're trying to make sure that our change isn't going to affect them, except hopefully in a positive way. So how do we measure success? We are not yet at a place where we are able to measure ROI, except for we know that we are saving a lot on fixed costs and some of the old PBX systems that we don't use anymore. So I don't have a graph for you, but we go with a different measure. In our county government, we have 253 different offices and locations. So you can imagine we move people around a lot, and we have certain scenarios where folks have to move offices. And what happens is sometimes you have Link Voice deployed employees who have to move to a location that does not have Link yet. And I can tell you this, we have never, ever gotten someone who said, "Oh, thank God, I'm back to normal." No, instead they get bad. They want Link back. And that's how we know we have raving fans. And that's it for me, so I'll pass it to Brian.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brian Wofford. I'm with Wells Fargo. I'm one of the senior unified communications engineers for the bank. Obviously, we're, you know, here and then you know, trying to participate in all the different things that are going on, just like everybody else that's here. You know, you guys are all interested in all the new stuff that's going on and trying to figure out, just like we did, you know, how do you get people on board with these things? How do you get people to jump in and, you know, get their feet wet with new technology? So first, simple question. How many people in the room here have Wells Fargo as a bank account, some form of mortgage account? I mean, if you look around, we're pretty much everywhere. You know, we've got stuff all over the place and all kinds of different things. So obviously you guys know who we are. We're Wells Fargo. We have we're a financial services company. In our Link deployment, we're big. We've got 170,000 seats globally. Right now everybody is on 2010, and then we've got 1,600 people that we've enabled for AV. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about those because that's kind of this. You know, when we talk about the different things that are going on, we're kind of living this story right now. We're trying to get people to adopt using Link for an AV platform. We're trying to get people to get a little using some of the more things. And I mean, a lot of you guys probably have IMP, and you're starting to get into the EV space, and that's where we are. We have a ton of IMP, and we're trying to get into AV. So we obviously, being bank, we don't allow people to access Link from the outside. We don't have any external access. We don't allow people to do things right now where they can get in from home or things like that. They come in through VPN. We have to be secure. I mean, we're in charge of your money, so you know, you want us to be as risk averse as we possibly can. Metrics-wise, so let's talk about the environment a little bit there. We do 154 million IM messages a month. So that's crazy, you know. 21 million IM sessions. These are individual sessions that people would chat in. We have 473 Link conferences in a month, which is it's a big number. So, you know, again, we're a big environment, so we have to do things a little bit different. You know, it's just a size thing. Again, I want to talk a little bit about the POC. So that's, again, it's kind of where we are. We have 1,600 people that are in this, and they've been turned up for, I guess, about 4 months now, maybe 4 or 5 months, and we're already seeing them. They're doing 7,000 AV sessions a month. So think about this. You've got these people that have only had access to chat. They've been doing meetings, they've been doing chat, and then now you give them the ability to do AV. And one of the things that shows success for us is this is one of those things that we were talking about earlier with the other folks that are here, is metrics. So this is it's a huge metric for us because we're seeing that, you know, of the 1,600 people we turned up, they're using this. They want this. They want to use Link. They want to use Link to do things. So let's go into our story a little bit. I've kind of talked a little bit about it. So we're obviously, again, we're in this AV space now. We're trying to get more features and things turned on in the Link infrastructure so that we can use it more, so we can have people be able to use it for more productivity, things of that nature. What we did is obviously, you know, Wells Fargo went through a huge merger with Wachovia, And as part of that merger, you know, we kind of went from, you know, being in one coast or the other. You know, Wells Fargo is primarily West Coast, Wachovia is primarily East Coast. And now we have people everywhere. We have people that work from their home. We have people in all kinds of different retail branches. We have people that are in a couple of our major data center areas. So Link's big for us. I mean, Link is a way for people to communicate. Link is a way for, as we did this merger, for people to put names with faces and to kind of figure out who the people that they're talking to are, you know, so they can actually interact with people on a one-to-one basis. Because, you know, let's face it, we're not going to fly people across country just so you can shake hands and say hi. But this gives us a way to do that. This gives us a way to actually enable folks so that now that they can, you know, they can put a name with a face, they can recognize a voice, and it's built a lot of really good rapport for us. So what we did is we broke our project up into kind of four phases right now. And again, you know, we're taking it slow because of just size and trying to make sure we're doing things correctly. First piece of this is where we're at right now, audio-video enablement. So what we did was is we took these 1,600 people and we turned on AV for them. So now they can make Link phone calls. They can make calls amongst themselves. They can join Link meetings. The second piece of this, and again, we kind of broke this out to try to make it make sense, telephony integration. So a lot of folks, when they get into Link, they think you kind of have to go all in. You know, you need to deploy everything. You need to do EV from the start. We can't do that. We're too big to do that. So in our world, telephony integration is kind of the second piece. You know, figuring out how we're going to give PS10 to these folks. How are we going to make them be able to make phone calls and receive phone calls on their Link clients? How are we going to make them be able to start conferences, you know, and do some conferencing in-house? The next piece is video integration. So this is our third phase. Obviously, just like a lot of you folks, we have other products in the bank. You know, we have other products that we have significant investment in the bank. And we don't want to throw that away. You know, we don't want to go in and do a rip and replace. That just doesn't make sense. So we're working with our other peers to do video integration so that we can actually tie into products that we already have significant investment in. And again, this is so that we're leveraging things that other people have already done, but then also showing the benefits to Link, you know, showing how Link kind of plays well with other kids in the same sandbox. Lastly is Link Mobile. And by far, this has been the biggest piece for us, you know, in terms of excitement. And this is, you know, like everybody knows, I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen Link Mobile in some of the keynotes and things like that already, giving people the ability to access Link from all kinds of mobile platforms. But in our world, it's another level because we have to do it securely. We have to make sure that they can get to their devices in a secure manner so that we're not, again, we're risk avoidance. We're trying to make sure that they can do it in a means that, you know, let them be productive, but at the same time, make sure that we're protecting the user. So one of the things that we did here, and the biggest thing, is teamwork. So within Wells Fargo, we have very specialized teams, you know, just because due to size, that handle different technologies. So we have a team that handles all of our video infrastructure. We have a team that handles all of our server infrastructure, AD infrastructure. There's all these different silos of different folks within the bank, and they're there. They, you know, they focus on what they know. They're really, really good at their jobs. So what we did was instead of, you know, we kind of up front, you know, we said we want to do this Link EV thing and we want to kind of figure out how that's going to look. You know, how do we start rolling this out without, you know, really pissing people off? You know, you don't want to step on all your peers that you're already working with. So basically what we did is up front, we stepped out and said, hey, this is what we need to do. These are the peers that we need to work with. These are our video partners. These are our telecom partners. These are our desktop partners. These are our server partners. And we brought them in early, way early, and said, look, this is what we're trying to accomplish. This is where we're headed. Can you guys help us? You know, here's the things that we need from you, but we need your support early on. Because we didn't want to go in and you know, just kind of have to ask for people after the fact. You know, you come in and you try to deploy something, and too many times it becomes like a last-minute thing. We say, oh, I need a server built, or I need, you know, maybe I need a PKI infrastructure stood up, or things like that. So we tried to do it on the early part of the project so that, you know, people would be involved early. So the biggest benefit for that was, you know, they're involved from the onset. So they're part of the project with us. You know, we're not just doing this project alone now. We've got all of our peers involved. So now they're getting, you know, obviously the same thing, you know, like we've talked about earlier, is the early adopters. So you get them in early. You give them, you know, giveaways, headsets, whatever they need, you know, to try to make them, get them involved, get them excited about it. And then also, you know, as any other big customer, we work very closely with Microsoft. So we have to make sure we're supported, right? And we have to make sure that things that we're doing, things that we design, things that we architect, go along with what Microsoft's kind of vision is, so that we're not stepping outside of and getting in an unsupported realm. So that was big for us. You know, we talked with Microsoft early on, and also a lot of our other trusted partners to kind of tell them what we're doing, tell them how we're thinking about doing this, and you know, let them get involved and provide feedback. Because a lot of these folks have already done, you know, some form of deployment. You know, maybe not on this scale, but still they've already got some, you know, some form of impact that they can share with us. And then lastly, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later also, is we partner with all the headset vendors and camera vendors. And the reason being is, you know, you want people to have certified headsets. You want to not be that guy that joins the Link conference with your, you know, your built-in microphone and speakers and you calls all the feedback. So we did this early. We sat down and said, look, we need to talk with all the vendors that we're going to deal with and try to help that out, you know, so that now that people are getting, they're getting the devices that they need. So how have we been successful so far? We did a couple things. There's a lot of things on this slide here. The biggest thing is, and I know that we've talked about this before, is dog food. You know, Microsoft obviously does, you know, the next level of product they're already using in-house. We did this. We did this within the messaging realm. And so we basically did like a mini POC, and we said, look, we're going to put all you guys on this POC. We're going to give you headsets. We're going to give you cameras. We're going to turn you up, and then we want you to start using it. We want you to start telling us what your feedback is. We want to know what you think. You know, what do you like? What do you don't like? What would you change or what would you do better? Secondly is very similar to like Tara was saying, we have a lot of lines of business within the bank, you know, that do all kinds of different things from, you know, car loans to mortgages to investment banking. So what we do is we basically went out and reached out to them and said, what would you guys do, you know, if you had access to this technology? How would you use this? How would you do something different? How can we help you be better at what you're doing? Whatever it is, you know, how would you, if we give you access to Link, what do you think that would do for you? Or how can you see yourself using the product? And that was big for us. I mean, it helps to kind of drive use cases a little bit for us. The next thing that we did is a lot of times you hear people, they do, you know, Link's very much location-based. So you do a lot of your, you know, your dial plans, you do CAC routing and all those things, and everything's location or subnet-based. What we chose to do is we enabled by team. So where we have teams, like I was saying earlier, we have teams everywhere. I mean, they're in all kinds of different locations all across the country. What we did was we actually solicited to the teams, and we said, hey, where are your people at, you know? Let's turn up your whole team, because that way we've got immediate involvement. If the whole team's enabled, they'll talk to each other on Link. You know, they'll do conference calls on Link. Versus kind of going location by location. Now, there's a lot deeper to that in terms of the enablement. But the biggest takeaway is you know, turn up folks by team so that you can actually get the usage more immediately. Link certified to get devices. So I talked about this on the last slide a little bit. I want to go a little bit deeper. So what we did is, obviously, there's tons of Link certified devices out there. There's all kinds of vendors, you know, that have headsets and cameras and all kinds of things. What we determined is we said we want to make three use cases. So we want to basically make this easy for people to pick out what they're going to use. So instead of just pointing them at, you know, a different vendor and saying, hey, here, go out here and pick out a headset. What we did was we said there's some scenarios that people kind of fall into. There's some use cases that they fall into. So we, like everybody else, you know, we have desktop workers that are, you know, primarily at their desk most of the day. We also have a use case for our mobile users, and these are folks that maybe they work from home. Maybe they work in the office sometimes, and then they work from home a couple of days a week, or maybe they're full mobile. Maybe it's a complete mobile worker that's always traveling. And then lastly, we did a use case that we kind of call a budget case. And what we determined is, as we start turning people up, they're obviously budget conscious because they're going to purchase these headsets. They're going to be the ones that go and invest in the hardware to enable them to use Link. And we wanted to have a case where we said, look, we've picked out a good quality headset that's not going to break the budget for you to enable your team. So instead of saying, hey, go out and buy the expensive headsets, you know, instead we gave them the option of saying, look, this is a good headset that you can get by with, and if you need to enable a lot of people, it still works, and it's still certified by us. You know, we've gone in and tested it. Next piece that we did is a lot of monitoring, and you heard that back from the other folks on the panel already. Monitoring is pretty big. So what we did is we basically do a report on the AV calls right now. We're just using basic Link monitoring servers, nothing fancy, nothing special. And what we're doing is we're pulling reports to give us an idea of how many calls are people having. You know, how are they using the product? What date? What are the high times of the day? What are the low times of the day? Are they, you know, what subnets are they on? Where are they at? You know, are they using it over a VPN connection? Are they using it, you know, on a wireless connection? Things like that. So this is all good data, it's available out of the box. Lastly, that gives us kind of the ability to do kind of a summary as the project, you know, gets to close, that we can actually look at using, basic monitoring, nothing special, but we can actually look at, you know, how many people are doing PSTN calls? How many people are doing video calls? How many people are doing peer-to-peer or conference? We also use the same data. We plug in, like I was saying before, we have these different silos. So we work very closely with our network peers. And this is important, right? I mean, one of the biggest things that you hear about Link when you roll it out is, you know, it uses a lot of network resources. I mean, let's be frank. You know, when you start turning up video for people, it's a lot of network. So we worked very closely with our networking guys, and we said, look, we're gonna turn up these sites, we're gonna enable these subnets where these people are, and then we're gonna gather data, you know, from our side, and we want you to also gather data from your side so that we can kind of compare and contrast. So we can kind of see where there might be bottlenecks as we go further, you know, as we start expanding out beyond the POC. And lastly on this, and in terms of success, was surveys. And similar like everybody else has said also, you know, surveys are big. You want to get feedback. You want to know, you know, do you like this? Do you hate it? Is there something that we could have done differently? Is there something that the product could do differently that maybe we need to go request, you know, Microsoft to make an enhancement for? So surveys are big. And we send these out on a periodic basis right now to our POC users, and we say, we'd like to get some feedback from you, you know, and candid feedback. We give them the ability, you know, say whatever you want to. We're going to read it, and we're going to look at it and make some decisions on it. So lessons learned. And so this is the kind of an in summary for Wells. Like I said before, partner early and often. By getting people involved that you need to be successful early on in your project, it helps to drive adoption. Because not only are you engaging them ahead of time, if you go to your network team and you give them a cool headset and a camera, they will be a lot more apt to help you. You know, this is tried and true. We've found this a lot already. Secondly, is expand your knowledge. So obviously, you guys are all at this Link conference for a reason. You want to learn more about Link. You want to learn more about how Link works or how to deploy Link or security within Link. Biggest thing here for us is make sure that your Link knowledge is strong. You know, this basically gives you, it's kind of a twofold thing, but it gives your partners, not only is your, you know, you kind of know how the product works better, you know deeper and how the product is, but when you talk to your partners, if you understand the product, you can help them understand the product. So you can help them understand where those integration points are. Second piece of this is industry knowledge. So what this kind of alludes to is, you know, Link's much more than IMMP now. You know, it's much more than just conferencing. When you start stepping into the UC space, you know, you're now dealing with SIP and VoIP and all kinds of different things that maybe you didn't have a lot of experience with before. So go and get some of that knowledge. You know, go and reach out and learn about your, you know, the different maybe Cisco integrations or other things like that that you're going to be dealing with. Go learn about SIP. Go learn about different topics that you, you know, maybe you don't know everything about all the underlying technologies that are happening. And this basically leads to credibility. So when you have this Link knowledge, you know, you understand the product, how Link works, how it integrates, and you understand the industry knowledge, you know how you integrate with your peers or things that they're going to need to try to help you with, this helps you build that rapport that you need and that credibility. So now when you go to them and you ask for, you know, hey, I need to stand up a SIP trunk, you know what that is. They know what that is. And so that helps you build that credibility where now you can make things go faster because you don't just seem like, you know, the messaging app that's now trying to step in the telephony space. And then lastly is be excited about Link. And like everybody else has said so far on the panel, this is big for us. This was huge for us. Get in front of people. Do demos. Do roadshows. People love demos. So what we did is we actually did a couple of different demos for some key groups within the bank, and we showed them Link end-to-end in a contained environment. And we basically said, here's how Link works, here's meetings, here's dialing a mobile phone, here's you know, being able to join a conference call, here's being able to look at a meeting roster and determine who's talking or who's not talking or to mute the whole roster. All the cool little things that Link does that everybody knows about, show them. Show them how it works. Show them how it benefits them. You know, and the bigger piece of that is that I promise you, if you do a demo with some folks, and you give an exec or somebody that's higher up in the audience, you give them an iPad and you make a phone call to it, they're on board. When you start phone-enabling iPads, people start listening. So this is another big thing is, you know, we did a lot of the excitement, but that's kind of, you know, the driver. And then once we got people excited about what we were doing, those same people kind of caused a chain reaction. They became those raving fans because now they want to help us be successful because they want the cool stuff. They want to, you know, they want to be on the cutting edge of things that are going on within the bank. So be excited about Link. That's all that I've got. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, you guys. See, this is the cool part, hearing from other customers, right? I want to thank you guys for being here because I couldn't have delivered that Want to talk real quick, because I want to save a few minutes for questions, the methodology behind the MADNS. So some of you may be familiar with RASC, or the Readiness and Adoption Success Kit. Hopefully you are. No matter where you are in your deployment, whether you're evaluating Link, you're in a proof of concept, you've started your pilot, there it goes, you've already completed your rollout and maybe you're in a run state at this time looking to increase adoption, you can snap into the RASC. I'm going to show you a real quick tour of that. The focus areas that we go through are planning. So for each phase that I just went over, you'll find these five focus areas. I'm not going to run through them, but there's all sorts of resources that are out there within the RASC. It's a big zip download. Please go and find it. This is what RASC looks like, the Link Rollout and Adoption Success Kit. We actually do have a resource slide that'll be in the deck. It's a website, you can go to it. It's not meant for your users, it's meant for the project team, so you guys can go look at, for instance, I have it on the pilot because nobody deploys Link without doing a pilot. We've got discovery questions to kind of get it going so that when you're thinking about your deployment, what are those things that I need to be thinking about? There's getting started checklists. So what are those kind of high-level things that I need to do, not an in-depth project plan? There's that too in the download. But the getting started checklist kind of helps you think through what are the things in this phase that I need to be thinking about. We've called out some common challenges based on what we know, what we hear, what other people are doing, what they've run into. So we call some of those things out and then ways to mitigate. And then finally, best practices, just some tips and tricks on you know, whatever we're talking about there. So please check out the RASC. We've learned a lot today. We've heard a lot from our great customers. And so I want to encourage you all to look at this in a nutshell slide and please take some of the nuggets that you heard today back with you. I know that this slide deck will be available for download, so please reference. I think, yes, our resource slide. So there's the URL for RASC. It's a short link, aka.ms/linkrasc. Check that out. That's the big Uber resource. We've also got instructor-led training. I referenced that before. If you do a Bing search, you'll just look for instructor-led link training. You'll get right there. It's kind of a long link. It is free. We've got lots of classes. They happen all the time. They're both recorded and instructor-led live sessions. Print management, we've got some printed materials. So for those of you who are looking for awareness things, don't want to recreate the wheel or start from scratch, we've got a vendor that has posters and stickers and door signs and all sorts of things. So feel free to visit print management. You just create an account and you can order off there. Link certified devices, Brian talked a lot about that. We've got a great resource for you if you're in the process of determining what devices you're going to look at. Check out that. And then finally, the Link team blog, which has all sorts of great Link resources. And last but not least, we want to keep the conversation going. So for those of you in the room and your peers that are here and other people that you've met who are interested in hearing about what each other are doing, we've built a community on Yammer. I'm adopting Yammer. That's what I'm trying to be a Yammer champ. So for those of you who are on Yammer or who want to get on Yammer, please visit this site here. It's a community within Yammer that we can all just discuss what we're doing around adoption, how we've been successful, ask questions, so please feel free to join that. It's called the O365 community. It doesn't matter if you're online, on-prem. We want to hear what you're doing around Link adoption. Okay, I think we've left a couple of minutes for Q&A. Like I said, we don't have a ton of time, so I want to be sure that we'll just go as long as we can here, and then for those of you who want to talk more, we're going to be in the Microsoft Pavilion. Visit our related sessions and fill out the survey, please. This clicker's not working. Please fill out the survey. We want to hear from you, and we want to know if this session is helpful, and we want to know if you want us to do it again next year. And if anybody is super excited about sharing your story, then I'm always looking for speakers because I lured Jerry in from last year. So has anybody got questions? We've got two mics here on either side of the If you could come up to the mic, that way it'll be on the recording and everybody in the room can hear you guys. You guys want to come up and join me? Because I'm sure some of these questions are going to be targeted to you. Go ahead.
How are you? I can't remember who said it, but they said executives should adopt first, which I would agree. So, like, in my field, it's higher education, so I would have to rope in deans, you know, provosts and stuff. How would you suggest you rope the executives in? It's easy to say my CIO is going to be on board. He kind of sponsored it, but how do you get, like, the other executives?
So I'll take that. Thanks. Yeah. So that was a challenge, but there's different ways. One way that we found effective was to say, look, our employees obviously regard you as the boss's boss's boss, and perception is important. And in order for us to provide this tool and for others to adopt it, they need to see you use it. So, you know, between you and I, even if the executive doesn't use it every day, there are times where there's specific, you know, public opportunities, like at a forum or when he's doing his city tours, to use Link, be photographed using it. So, the reality is maybe he's working on adopting it, but the perception is that he's using it. So sometimes those two things are not exactly the same, but it's important, you know, I'm in communications to kind of shape the truth to make it help you.
Okay. That's good. Thank you.
Hi, I had a question, I think it was Tara. Just for the deployment team that you mentioned, I was just curious, how you chose the members of the team. Were those people from IT or business users, and just how you went about selecting those users?
So we had a combination of both. It's really important to have someone who knows the land infrastructure, and then also to have peers that know, I guess for lack of a better way to phrase it, how to be nice to customers. Oftentimes, you know, IT folks just want to get the job done, and in our organization might not be the most people-friendly. So there are traits that you look for, being accommodating, putting the customer first, but then also supporting that with, you know, actual IT infrastructure knowledge. So I would say, you know, you want to have kind of a variety, so then they have someone on their team who can always answer the question in case they can't.
Awesome. Thank you. This is going to be for Tara again. You mentioned, I think it was traditional users you called them?
Yeah.
I have a company. It's a 100-year-old company. We have people that have been there 30, 40, 50 years. What would be one thing you would suggest to get those guys to move over? Because I know some of them will not.
I think what is really important, I know we are all about unified, or I guess universal, right, communications now. But really make sure your communication comes from one place. Because we're such a large organization, sometimes we tend to have groups that want to speak. And so if that group gets peppered with information from different sides, they'll freeze. Well, I heard 2 weeks ago my department director tell me this, and now I get this global email telling me this. Well, shoot, I'm not going to do anything, right? So misinformation, sprinkled, kind of diverse communication really confuses things. So I would say pick a single source or a single group who's going to do your communicating and make sure that everything related is tied in. Okay. If you're talking about, like I said, lean, or you're talking about anything else, make sure that it tells the story, because traditional users care about their turf, their territory, what they're working on, at least in our environment, and they're not going to go out of their way to try to assimilate the story to make it make sense to them. So we have to phrase things and give that to them in pieces that they're going to understand. So yeah, really try to just keep the communication almost minimal, but really pointed. Oh.
Okay, hi, my question was for Brian. I'm wondering if what the interaction with InfoSec was like in your case, and if there are any features in Link that InfoSec basically said you can't roll out.
There's a lot of that. That's a very good question. We dealt a lot. I mean, obviously, being in the financial world, the InfoSec piece of this was a pretty big challenge. Again, the biggest things for us was more around, You know, we don't expose anything to the outside. You know, so we actually got some benefits by the fact that Link is one of the only technologies that's, you know, it's TLS end-to-end. So by having PKI involved and having certificates involved, it made it a little bit easier, you know, just in terms of you can go to your InfoSec folks and say, hey, look, you know, we're not like some of these other technologies that are here. We actually have certificates. We do encryption, you know, regardless of what you're doing in the product. So it was okay. I mean, it's obviously there's, you know, we can get a lot deeper, and I'll be glad to talk to you after the session if you have more questions. But a lot of it's just, you know, dealing with security is, it's dealing with security. I mean, it kind of is what it is. But Link is one of the products that we found. We actually had less pushback with it than probably some other things, just because there's a lot of things that are already done, you know, by just Microsoft in terms of how security works.
Great, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Brian, I was going to add to that so right now we only have a handful of Link Mobile, not because of InfoSec, but we're still fighting that battle, and it has to do with external access, and so we're still working through that one as an example.
Hi, this question is for Jerry. I was just wondering how you went from 2,000 named hosts in conferencing, how you rolled that number down, how did that persuasion work out in the end? Or was it more of like a hard line kind of thing?
So we started in IT with, hey, everyone, we want you to use Link for conferencing instead of what we've been using. And then what happened was when we started seeing, wow, people are really using it, we're getting savings. Well, everyone wanted to do what IT was doing. And so you literally had executives saying, stop using our third party, use our hosted. Do you have any reason you can't use Link? And I mean, there isn't really a reason. I don't know if you saw my kind of asterisk that's for non-operator assisted calls, so any of our just ad hoc calls. So we do still have like really large town hall meetings that are hosted, but otherwise it is generally internal.
Okay. But, yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
About to get kicked out of our room. So I want to thank all of you for coming. For those of you who want to stay and do have questions, we'll stick around here and then we'll make our way to the Microsoft Pavilion in a couple minutes. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Thank you.